This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Very warm welcome to all of you, inshallah ta'ala, for our weekly program at Al-Jannah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, another lecture, another presentation. But before we begin the lecture, just a few housekeeping or just a few reminders, inshallah ta'ala. If you have any children who are going to be noisy or who begin to make some noise during the lecture, it is most appreciated if you can take them to the back until they are quiet, inshallah ta'ala, and then bring them back. It is most frustrating for a lecturer to be talking whilst a child is being rowdy or noisy. SubhanAllah, I remember there was a lecture, one of my lectures that was posted up on the internet. Actually, someone actually commented and said, "What's with all the screaming in the background?" Even the listeners to the lecture were commenting about that, SubhanAllah. So it can be quite frustrating, inshallah. Mobile phones, of course, I think we've never really had an issue with them. So, alhamdulillah. Of course, your kind donations are appreciated for these initiatives that are being held in the Northern Beaches for the Muslim community and for these lectures that are publicized and promoted all around the world through YouTube and Facebook and other media outlets. So please, if you would like to make a regular donation, schedule a direct debit, then our bank details are on the screen. So inshallah, if you want to make note of that. If you also note that we do have a Facebook account for those who want to be updated regarding our activities. And we also have our SMS service, and the SMS service is there. Basically, you should be receiving a message every week regarding activities that are being held in the area, lectures, things like that. So send the word join to the mobile phone number that you saw on the screen. The word join to the mobile phone number on the screen if you're not receiving our updates. Yes, we also have Twitter, and all the lectures and all of our initiatives, activities are promoted through our very own website, aljannah.org. So be sure to visit it regularly, insha'Allah ta'ala. So inshallah, without any further ado, I'm going to commence today's lecture. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his sunnah, who follow his tradition, his way, his belief until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are continuing the discussion from the book Riyadu Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, whereby he has an entire book entitled The Book of Manners. And today, inshallah ta'ala's chapter, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he entitled it Babul Wafa'i Bil Ahdi Wa Injazil Wa'd. Basically, it is about fulfilling your promises. Fulfilling your promises. And the promise here is, the word for promise here is Al-Ahd. Al-Ahd. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he began this chapter with four ayat, four verses from the Quran, whereby Allah Azza wa Jal gives us directives regarding promises. And then Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included three ahadith or hadiths, traditions to do with this topic and to do with fulfilling your promises. Now, the first ayah, that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is found in Surah Al-Isra, verse 34, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his glorious book the Quran, he says, and fulfill every covenant. A covenant is an agreement. Fulfill your agreements. A promise is an agreement. Fulfill your promises. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, verily, the covenant will be questioned about. You will be questioned about your promises. We will be questioned about the promises that we make. The next verse that was mentioned, or that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, is from Surah An-Nahl, verse 91. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ, and fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have made an agreement, when you have made a covenant. So this is another ayah. The third ayah that Imam al-Nawawi included is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, in the very first verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqood. Fulfill, O you who have believed. It's an instruction or directive towards the mu'minun, towards the mu'mineen, the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, fulfill your obligations. Fulfill your obligations. And in another verse, from Surah As-Saff, verses 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun kabura maqtan indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Again, Allah azza wa jal is addressing the believers, the mu'mineen, and he says, O you who have believed. So one of the traits of a believer, one of the characteristics of a mu'min, of a believer, is that he fulfills his promise. He fulfills his promise. O you who have believed, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ, why do you say that which you do not do? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, why do you say that which you do not do? So it's about fulfilling what you say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes in this ayah by saying, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Most hateful. Most hateful. It is hated by Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator. It is most hateful with Allah that you say that which you do not do. That you say that which you do not do. And we know this as being hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of an action. And we're going to talk about that as Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he includes the hadiths of hypocrisy and the traits of hypocrisy. Now, before I delve into the hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, I want to talk about ahad and your promises. Okay, when it comes to your promise, we have all as human beings made a promise with Allah Azza wa Jal, first and foremost. Al-ahdu ma'allah. We have made a promise with Allah Azza wa Jal. And you might be asking, when did we make a promise with Allah Azza wa Jal? I don't remember making a promise with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-A'raf of the Quran in verse 172, he reminds us of a ahd. He reminds us of an agreement, of a covenant that took place between us when we were souls, when we were arwah, when we were souls, with a ahd that we took with Allah Azza wa Jal. What is that promise? What is that ahd? What is that agreement that we agreed with Allah Azza wa Jal? In the Musnad of Imam, Imam Ahmad, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, and this is a hadith that is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and this hadith has been authenticated. It is found in a silsila of the hadith that is sahiha, that are authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that when Allah azza wa jal created our forefather Adam alayhi salam, Adam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When Allah azza wa jal created Adam, he took a covenant or an agreement from him. Then he extracted from him, from Adam, all of his descendants. You know, we are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. So he extracted from him all of his descendants who would be born until the end of the world. All of those people that were going to be born were extracted from Adam alayhi salam, generation after generation, and he spread them out. He spread them out in front of him, in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to take an agreement from him, or from them. And he spoke to them face to face by saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to them, Alastu bi Rabbikum? Alastu bi Rabbikum? Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your Lord? And they said, yes. قَالُوا بَلَى. And they replied, yes. And we testify to it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explained why he had all of mankind bear witness that he was their creator and the only deity or deity God worthy of worship. So that they can, so that in case mankind, in case mankind should say on the day of judgment, surely we were unaware of all of this, or we had no idea of this. So in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. And mention when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. And made them testify of themselves, saying to them, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. They said, yes, we have testified this. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. شَهِدْنَا. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. شَهِدْنَا. أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. Lest you should say on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة, indeed we were unaware of this. So we have already entered into an agreement with Allah Azza wa Jal, admitting that He is our Rabb, He is our Creator, He is our Lord, He is our God, He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. So, therefore, that's why when people become Muslims, when non-Muslims, they enter into Islam, we say that they have reverted and not converted. Because originally they were Muslims. They were Muslims. And they have reverted and not converted. They have reverted and not converted to Islam. So this is why we say everybody, كل مولود, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born in the state of fitra. In the state of fitra. So it is the parents, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is abawah, it is the parents that will make him a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshipper or a Majusi. So we are all born as human beings, as Muslims. And the word Islam means submission and surrender and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what Islam means. Islam means surrender and submission. Submitting your will to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first agreement that we should be fulfilling is the agreement or ahd that we have with Allah Azza wa Jal. The second ahd, the second type of promise that we should be fulfilling is a ahd that we have with people, with mankind. Promises that and agreements that we have entered into with mankind. Now, it could be an agreement with another Muslim. between a Muslim and a Muslim. Or it could be an agreement between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, a disbeliever, with a kafir. Okay? That agreement should also be fulfilled. When a Muslim has an agreement with a non-Muslim, that agreement must also be honored. In Sahih Muslim, we have the situation whereby a couple of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhuma, were coming to Medina. And on their way to Medina, just as they were about to enter, they came across some mushriks, some polytheists, some disbelievers. And these two Muslims feared for their lives. And so the mushrik said to them, "Where are you going?" They said, "We're going to Medina." They said, "Are you going to join Muhammad? Are you going to join Muhammad?" And they said, "No, we're going to Medina." They said, "Look, we will set you free. We will not do anything to you as long as you promise not to fight with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against us." So they entered into an agreement. They entered into an agreement with these mushriks. When these two sahaba, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think one of them was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mentioned what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Fulfill your agreement. Fulfill your agreement." In other words, you are not to fight with me against them. You have entered into this agreement. Fulfill your agreement. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us against them. So he turned to Allah for victory, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to aid him when the time comes. So yes, Muslims do fulfill their agreements that they have with non-Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would engage in transactions with the Jews that were living in Medina. And we know, for example, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, he purchased some barley from a Jew. He purchased 30 sa', a sa', two handfuls. He purchased 30, two handfuls of barley that he purchased on credit, because he never had the money at that time to pay for the barley. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave as security, he gave an iron armor to the Jew as a mortgage. He said, "You can hold on to this until I pay what I owe you." And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, he hadn't paid that Jew the money that he owed for the barley. So therefore the iron armor remains in the custody of the Jew. That was the security money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dealing with the Jews and dealing with the people of the book that were around him. So it's very important to remember to honor and to fulfill your promises and your agreements, even though they may be with a non-Muslim. And that you will be asked about your promises and the fulfillment of your promises on the Day of Judgment. Now, let's talk about some of the ahadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in this chapter. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, and it's originally found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ayatul munafiqi thalath." He said, three are the signs of a hypocrite. There are three signs of a hypocrite, a munafiq. And then he goes on to list them. And he said, "Idha haddatha kadhab." That when he makes, or when he speaks, he lies. Hadith is speech. But when we talk about the hadith in the context of Islam, it is the words and the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the word hadith linguistically means speech. Hadith. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. That when he speaks, he lies. كَذَبْ. كَذِبْ is lying. And the practitioner of كَذِبْ إِذَا كَذَّابْ is a liar. كَذَّابْ. So he said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. And when he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. And when he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانْ. And when he betrays, when he is trusted with something, he betrays his trust. He betrays the trust. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising us or pointing out what are the signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, so that we don't become hypocrites. And in another narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added to this, he said, وَإِن صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. Even if he observes sawm, which is fasting, and he performs salah, and he claims to be a Muslim. The next hadith that Imam al-Nawi included is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَرْبَعٌ. أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا. Four qualities. If they are found, or four traits. If they are found in a person, they will make that person a she or a complete munafiq, complete hypocrite. And he said, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِّنَ النِّفَاقِ. But anyone who possesses one of them, he possesses one of the characteristics of nifaq. So you, if you have these following four characteristics in you, you're a hypocrite, complete hypocrite. But if you have one of these traits, then you have one of the traits of nifaq, and therefore you are not a complete hypocrite. Until you leave it, حَتَّى يَدَعَهَا, until you leave off that trait. And then he says, he mentions them, إِذَا أْتُمِنَ خَانْ. When he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. وَإِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. And when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ. And when he promises, he acts treacherously. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. And when he argues, he behaves in a very imprudent or insulting manner. Very insulting manner when he argues. So, a very serious hadith. The hadith of al-munafiq. Now, the asl of nifaq, or the what is the fundamental trait of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, is that he conceals or he hides. So we call this in Arabic at-tawriya. The ulama, when they refer to this, they refer to this as at-tawriya, concealment or hiding, whereby you hide your evil and you show your good, or you hide your kufr and you show iman, and you show that you're a believer. This is hypocrisy. This is nifaq. This is tawriya. Showing something that you really are not. And this hadith outlines the traits of a munafiq. Now, during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there actually existed a group of munafiqun, of hypocrites. And they actually met the characteristics and the traits as outlined in these two ahadith. Now, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't know, hardly knew يعني what lay in the hearts of people, despite being a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, he did know some of them, he did know who were some of the munafiqun. Now, when it comes to the nifaq, nifaq or hypocrisy is of two types. There is the nifaq of your, as the ulama have said, it relates to your faith or your belief. And the second type of nifaq is related to your practice, to your actions. So there is a nifaq of belief and a nifaq of amal, of actions. Now, in the case of nifaq of your i'tiqad or your belief, which is the first case, this is where a munafiq or a hypocrite conceals his disbelief in his heart, but verbally professes Islam. So, on the outside he says, I'm Muslim. But on the inside, he doesn't believe in the tenets of Islam. Doesn't believe in arkanul iman, al-imanu billah, wa malaikatihi, wa kutubihi, wa rusulihi, wal yawm al-akhir, wal qada, wal qadr, khayrihi wa sharri. Belief in Allah. These are the fundamental, six fundamental beliefs of a Muslim. Belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-imanu billah, wa malaikatihi, his angels, wa kutubihi, in his scriptures, wa rusulihi, the prophets and messengers that were sent to mankind. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, which is the last day, day of judgment, heaven, hell, divine decree, the sixth one, الْقَضَاء وَالْقَدْرِ. We have to believe in all of these articles of faith, in all of these tenets. So anybody who does not, who conceals this belief, who conceals disbelief and shows belief, he is a munafiq. And he will be in the lowest part of the hellfire, in the depth of the hellfire, which is the worst part of the hellfire. Because Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 145, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqun, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth of the hellfire. And this is referring to the hypocrisy of belief. The hypocrisy of your i'tiqad, of your belief. Now, in the case of the nifaq of the amal, of the action, a man, يعني, he does have faith in his heart. He does have the aqeedah, he does have the iman. However, he has a lot of these traits or tendencies that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outlined. When he speaks, he lies. When he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he argues, he behaves in a very imprudent or insulting manner. If you have all four characteristics, you're a complete hypocrite. But if you only have one of them, then you have one of the traits of nifaq. So therefore, having said this, when it comes to nifaq, a person is not necessarily 100% kafir or 100% believer. He may possess the traits of the two. So a Muslim may possess traits of kufr, of the people of kufr or disbelief, and may possess traits of iman. So for example, you can have traits of hypocrisy, traits of iman, traits of disobedience, traits of justice, traits of enmity, traits of loyalty, traits of disloyalty. So there's a mixture of the two. So therefore, the hadith of al-nifaq, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, it teaches us that a Muslim may possess traits of iman and traits of nifaq. And we're going on now to the next hadith that was mentioned here, and that is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. He reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him. Jabir is one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said that when the revenues of Bahrain will arrive, I shall give you such and such. So the Prophet ﷺ had promised Jabir that when the revenues, some wealth that was coming from Bahrain, the area at that time, when it comes to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ promised him a share of that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed away before the revenues were received. So they did receive the revenues, but by the time they received the revenues, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away, he had died. And when they arrived during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda. Abu Bakr was the Khalifa. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he ordered to be announced that anyone whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised or owed anything should come to him. Abu Bakr said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owes anything to anyone, to come and see Abu Bakr. So Jabir radiallahu anhu, he went to him and he said, Messenger of Allah had said to me such and such. So Abu Bakr took a double handful out of the money and gave it to me. In other words, he gave it to Jabir. I counted it and found that it was 500 dirhams. 500 dirhams. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Jabir, take twice as much more of that amount. And the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So the point, the moral here, the moral of this hadith being included in this chapter is that once you die, you are not cleared of anything that you owe. Just because you die doesn't mean you cease to owe people what is rightfully owed to them. And that's why in Islam, if you have something that you owe to others, you should not go to sleep without having written a will, written it down. I owe such and such money or wealth or whatever it is. So the fulfillment of the deceased pledge is what we learn from here. If somebody has pledged something and then they have died, then those who are responsible, the descendants or the ascendants, those people, the family members, should ensure that the promises of the deceased are fulfilled, and anything that's outstanding should be paid back. And that's why we have a common practice, alhamdulillah, in our communities, and inshallah we continue to implement this, that when somebody dies from your family, you should make an announcement and say, we, the family of such and such, would like to the community to know that anybody who is owed anything by the deceased, to come and see the family members so we can fulfill the promise and the pledge of the deceased. Because we know in Islam, even the mujahid who dies in the battlefield is forgiven everything except for what he owes to somebody else. So it's a serious matter. And everybody should be given back what is owed to them, Muslim or non-Muslim. So we have a responsibility of fulfilling our pledges and the pledges of our family members that have deceased. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he, when he died, he had mortgaged his iron armor to a Jew, and it's to that extent that يعني, the promises should be fulfilled. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, today's presentation was about fulfilling your promises and ensuring that we steer away and keep away from the traits of nifaq, of hypocrisy, that the ahadith outlined, that we keep away from the traits of an-nifaq. And we saw how that a person could still be a believer, but have the traits of nifaq that are related to actions. However, if a person has the wrong belief in Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart, and he manifests otherwise, that this is a nifaq that can take a person out of the realm of Islam, and which could actually see a person be in the lowest and the deepest part of the hellfire, as per the ayah in Surah An-Nisa. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.